Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to our prayer call, and I thank you all for being here tonight. What a blessing. We have had a great response to the prayers that have been lifted up, the teachings that have been going forth, and God has been bringing around more and more people that are literally getting involved and asking for the Lord to show them that which he's doing, that which he wants to do, and there's breakthroughs. So I'm going to bring you a kind of a broad stroke tonight about dealing in the courts, about dealing in what God's saying, and I'm going to tie in from a bunch of different authors. The big issue is that we're in a war. Now, Chuck Pierce wrote a book, he's written many books, but he wrote a book, The Future War of the Church. And I think he wrote the first one, it was in, let me see here, I think he said it was 86. I've got to look back. And then he wrote a second one that updated that. Let me see when the publishing date was. 2001 was this one. And then the second edition was 2007, which I'm reading right from here. But it's talking about preparing for war. And the war has actually begun. I mean, we're in war. And folks that don't realize we're in war literally have missed what is going on around them. They've stuck their head in the sand. And I've had many people in churches that I pastored and involved with other people, and they said they didn't want to know. They didn't want to know where they were, what was going on, because it was too overwhelming. And the Lord is saying, has been saying, you know, you got to learn to stay calm in me. You've got to get past what's going on around you and take one step at a time, because the enemy's going to bring frustration in your life. He's going to bring such a bombardment that it'll be overwhelming for you. And when we are seeking the Lord to find out what are the iniquities, what are the curses that could be on our bloodlines, what do we need to do to set our family free that we can set others free, he might show you so much that it seems like an overwhelming situation that you're in. And God said, yeah, you got to stay calm. He's showing you this because he knows you can handle it. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. And what you're doing is literally destroying the enemy's camp, and the enemy hates you for it. But God is making the crooked places straight because of this. He's breaking down the doors and the iron bars. He's just literally getting you through the gates that you can enter into the place of freedom and victory and inheritance that you haven't had. And I'm talking about the inheritance from your generations. In the book, The Future War of the Church, Chuck was quoting Patrick Henry. He says, the war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand here and be idle? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, God Almighty. I know not what course others will take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Now, liberty, I've thought about for 2012, I thought about liberty for the entire year, basically. Liberty is not freedom. Freedom is bondage. Most people don't get it, but it comes with entitlements, whereas liberty comes with responsibility. And Patrick Henry was saying that very thing. We're in a war, and it's a war that is so great that the enemy has used his tactics to deceive the church. Many pastors, and I'm talking many, and some that I know and some I know well, refuse to teach anything about warfare. They refuse to teach anything about sin being in your bloodline. They refuse to teach anything about breaking off these things, about getting set free. How do you go to war? How do you go before the courts of heaven? What do you do? But there's an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit right now that he's bringing into the church a new revelation of his mighty work and his mighty hand. And he's bringing believers, those who really want to seek him, a fresh awareness of how to overcome the enemy. And it's through the word, the blood, name of Jesus. So he's saying, I want to give you instructions on how to be a leader in the current times that you can help others get out of their bondage. You say, how can I help others get out of their bondage when I can't get out of my own? I've got so much junk in my life. And he says, you know, you've got to live and walk in my ways and my word by the principles that I've set forth, that you can understand the very values of the Word of God. And in that, you will be able to set the straight line to walk in your home and your work and your ministry. The greatest place I see ministry these days is actually not in the church. It's in the marketplace. People are looking at the character of every one of us, and they're saying, you know, what makes you so special? What is different about you? I've had people come to me and just pour their hearts out, and I didn't hardly even know them. But they sensed something, and that was Holy Spirit. So, you know, we are seeing a time that we're walking into as has not been in history before. It's literally the revelation of Daniel. It's the book of Daniel being lived out. It's the end times, the things that have been hidden. It's the knowledge of the Lord that has been stored up for today to make available to the saints that they can be set free. So what God is doing in each and every one of us by this series, through these 12 weeks that we've done this, is he's taken us to a place that we are becoming obedient and therefore righteous before him, and we are becoming spotless as the bride is supposed to be, because we're going back and cleansing ourselves. We're cleaning up the things. We are literally being set free by breaking off the bondages that are on the church. You see, the church has gone into an area, and next week I'm going to get more depth on this, but the church has gone into a place where they're not teaching life, they're teaching death. And you say, how in the world can you say something like that? And I said, it's quite simple. The death that they're bringing about is their refusal to bring the truth. And if you're not teaching the truth, then you're teaching death. Because the truth brings life. The word brings life. But they're teaching a watered-down gospel. Now, I'm not going to call any names or pick on anybody, but what I want you to understand, and that's the reason most of us are not in particularly organized bodies, or we're auxiliary members. You know, we go and attend, but we're not at that church particularly. And it's a shame, because there happens to be three pastors on this call right now that are friends of mine. And God is saying that, you know, you're going into a new year here, that the war is going to intensify so greatly that if the people in your congregation have not been set free from the curses where the accuser can come in and bring sickness, bring infirmity, bring about bondage, bring about financial bondage, bring about destruction in their lives and their family, that it's going to be hard to stand. Now, everybody that I know in ministry has plenty of problems as it is, because they are responsible for their sheep. So they literally become those that stand in the gap, and I've said this over and over again. I said earlier tonight to several people that are on the call that I won't stand in the gap any longer unless God tells me to stand in the gap, because of the danger of what's there. If you stand in the gap and God is trying to bring discipline, then you've gotten between God and the person. So if you just arbitrarily decide, I'm going to stand in the gap and pray for this, or pray, God forbid, if you go in and stand in the gap for the nation and God's not told you to go there, think about it. There are ruling generals over cities, much less the ruling generals over state and over the nation, and what you could get yourself into. In Mexico some years ago, with one of my dearest friends, Pastor Fred Forche, and I were down, and we got into a battle with a witch, and we rebuked into a herd of swine the demons that were in here, and the herd of swine literally climbed up on a fence and was screaming at us in human voices. Now, that's out of Spielberg's movie. That's something that most people would never experience. We've seen it. We've seen, and I took on in pride and haughtiness, because God showed me what I was going to take on, the ruler demon in that area, and I almost got killed. And God showed me I had to repent. And I did, for my haughtiness, thinking I could take on something I was not called to take on. So, as we go forward, and as we take on the principalities of our city and our states and our nation, it'll be because God has shown us, okay, now's the time to stand. And he's going to be with us, and he'll tell us to take that next step. Right now, we've been taking on the curses in our own bloodline, the iniquities, sins, of the past generations that have caused the downfall of, and it's not so much that, you know, it's not going to keep, those things are not going to keep us out of the kingdom, but they could cause our children to stumble. They could cause us to stumble. And what it does, it removes the crowns of righteousness and the blessings and the inheritance that were supposed to be rightfully ours or in our bloodline. It could have been our great-grandfather who passed it on to our grandfather, who passed it on to our father, who would pass it on to us. And it didn't happen because of the curse from entering into an area where you failed the very things that God said. I said there were seven areas before. Prejudice, anti-Semitism, prejudice in any way, robbing God, Malachi 3, robbing man, Zechariah 5, 1 through 4, dishonoring your parents. Now, you know, I had an issue with this. My dad was a drunk. And, you know, I bumped heads with my dad all along, and I've gone back and asked forgiveness to take that off of me and my bloodline. Idle words. Boy, I tell you what, the cursings that we bring on ourselves, and I'm going to come into that in just a few minutes, about the very words that we speak, the power of the spoken word, it can either bring healing or brings death. Many of you know that I've had my brother-in-law here who's was in a car wreck, and he says, I don't know why. Oh, I've got all these problems. I said, stop it. Stop it. Quit speaking these things. You're just speaking curses upon yourself. Broken relationships. Now, I've been through divorce. I've had broken relationships with dear friends. You know, these are areas, covenant breaking. The biggest one is oath and covenant breaking. And the word's pretty clear. 2 Samuel. And he talks about, you know, the curse coming on you because of breaking an oath. Now, Nancy talked about something, you know, weeks ago. She's been gone now for, 3 weeks. And in the ministry that she wanted to be in because God showed her the curse that was on the family because a generation, seven generations back, a grandfather refused to go in the missions ministry when God had called him. And he backed out. Well, he made a vow to the Lord. Well, that vow took away, since he didn't do it, God sent somebody else. Catherine Kuhlman talked about this. If any of you remember Catherine Kuhlman, she'd asked the Lord why, as a woman, and I am in this place of ministry that I'm in, ministry of healing and reconciliation, and God told her he had asked five men who were in that audience that night, and she spoke this, to do the work she was doing, and they refused. So she got their crowns. So the inheritance that was supposed to go on to their families was not able to be passed on because they refused to do what God wanted them to do, and they broke the vow, the oath that they'd given the Lord. So we've got to look at these things. We've got to understand that the word that we give, the agreement that we have with the Lord, it's life and death. You know, he says, I put before you this day life and death, choose life. So we have to look and understand that we're in a time and in a season that has never been before. Never will be again. And we got to learn to cry out to the Lord. We got to understand that there's bondages that need to be broken off, that you can be without spot and wrinkle, part of the true bride of Christ, that we'd be obedient. His biggest thing he's asking us is be obedient. And that we literally can sense the presence of the Lord through the Holy Spirit and understand that which he wants to do in our lives. And in so, he will draw us into him, show us what is the problem that we have to deal with, that we can break it off, literally like we did last week, and we're going to those kind of prayers again tonight, and take it from the courts of accusation and judgment, where the enemy's literally got a judgment against your bloodline, into the courts of mercy and grace, that these things will be broken off to us. Now, I got a beautiful prayer that was sent to me that I'm going to pray tonight, which is actually out of the books, but it's still a beautiful prayer. And as we go into this tonight, I want you to recognize that 2015, which we are going into on the Jewish calendar now, we're coming into September, we're literally going into that time. Matter of fact, John Rockwell is joining me as I go to Gloria Zion from the 25th through the 28th to our conference. Dr. Fred Mosley is joining us. We're going to go up there to receive a blessing as we go into this new year, 2015, because that on the Hebrew calendar, we're entering into that. But it's a year that we've got to really watch and see what God's doing. We've got to learn that we have to stand strong in our identity where we have been cleansed and our family has been cleansed, that we can take such authority that the enemy has no place in us. So that when we shout, our shout would be like a trumpet blowing in the atmosphere unto the Lord, because we're coming into a year of jubilee. And this is probably the most important jubilee in our lifetimes, simply because it is a time where the blood moon's going to come up. It is a jubilee time period where the captives are supposed to be set free. Debt is supposed to be canceled, and all of us want our debt canceled. And the blessings of the covenant is supposed to be poured out. So we're literally in a time when God's getting ready to release things that have not been released for centuries. So as we go forth, we're going to be in a season that as we keep our eyes on the Lord and do not listen to those that want to tickle our ears, but listen to when God says, and you hear a word from a preacher, he says, we need to repent about this, repent. Even if you don't think you have any sin in it, repent anyhow. Repent for your bloodline. Repent if anything could be involved. Just call out to the Lord so that you can receive the inheritance of that which has been given, and you can also get the blessing of the covenant that was meant for you and your generations from the past. So that's one of the biggest things. And in that, we'll be able to go into a place of rest. Most people say, how in the world can I rest with this war going on? It's because God is going to bring you out of the warfare into his covering that you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Now, God wants to overshadow each and every one of us with these blessings right now. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then I want to talk about some more of the laws. You know, God wants us to be in a position of ambassadors of reconciliation. And that reconciliation is unto him, but he's also reconciling us onto the promises that was meant for our bloodline. So in the situation, we call each other cousin. She's on tonight. She called me up. She texted me yesterday, and I called her immediately. God was saying about inheritance being released. Well, that's the very thing that we were praying for. That's the thing that David was praying about. When we were taking all of us back to the very beginning, the foundation of this nation in our bloodlines, and God started revealing these things, we are starting to gain, and it's going to overtake us very soon, to gain that which was the blessing. So let's just say you were supposed to be successful in business, but you couldn't be successful in business because there was a curse on the bloodline. Or you were supposed to be in ministry. Are you supposed to have a crown of righteousness? Are you supposed to have these inherited things that did not happen because somewhere along the way a vow was broken, something was done? Now, it doesn't mean that you're not going to go into the kingdom of heaven. It just meant that you didn't get to go in with that which was your promise. The enemy stole it. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He literally has stole our blessings. So we're going into the heavens tonight, and we're going to start taking back again that which the enemy has stolen. And we're going to come into a place that we understand that the law of accountability and responsibility is ours. It's a life law, and it's in Dr. Mosley's book, that we have to understand we have to be accountable for taking these situations before the throne, because we can wait and then the next generation can do it, but why wait? Why stand on the sidelines? Just like Patrick Henry said, why do you want to stand on the sidelines and be idle and watch and literally go into slavery? So I'm going to take a spiritual look at that, and he's saying that the slavery that we're going into is loss because we've become in bondage to the enemy, the accuser, the brethren, who has judgments against us. So our petition and our protocol and going to the courts is going to take us to the place where we're going to deal with the thief. We're going to break down the strongholds. We're going to break through, and the glory of God is going to come into our presence. So, Father, we just come before you right now, Yahweh. You're Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would pour out your Spirit on each and every one that has ears to hear tonight, that is tied into this call, that they could know and understand that which you're doing, that the blessings of the covenant would be poured out. Lord, we come before the courtroom of heaven and humble ourselves in your presence and ask that you would literally accept us as a living sacrifice. We are here to repent for any sin, any breaking of a covenant or guideline or word or principle that was committed against your word. We ask that you would show us any sins, anything that could be used against us in the spiritual court of the law of heaven, so that we can present them before you in repentance, asking forgiveness, and therefore remitting the sin against our bloodlines and our children and for those on, and asking that you cleanse us from the blood through the blood of Jesus. Lord, we know that in the courtroom of heaven, only the truth will be presented. Everything will be brought out in the open. Our very lives are going to be examined first, and then we will be able to present our case, and the accuser is going to make sure of that. He's going to take us continually before you and say, that person did that. Wade did this. Linus did this. Brenda did that. Connie did this. John did this. And yeah, you know what? We're guilty. But always removes everything in front of it, negates everything in front of it. Through the blood of the Lamb and our repentance, we can be set free. So we ask that you would move these things from the courtroom of judgments to the throne room of grace and mercy, and remove any veil that's over our eyes of understanding so that we can see the truth in these areas that we've been blinded. Literally, that our conscience has been seared, that their eyes have been covered and we've not seen or understood. Show us the patterns of any wrong thinking that have built up strongholds against you, Lord God, and against the truth of the Word. Pull down these strongholds in the name of Jesus, for we do so, and we ask that if you'd help us to think clearly and correctly, that we can see and understand them. We declare that we choose to embrace your truth and walk in it with your help. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy and the shed blood that was done by our Savior and our Lord, Yeshua Jesus, that paid the price for our debt of any sin, a debt that we could not pay with silver or gold through any human's means. Lord, it's a spiritual debt that only he could pay, and it's been paid in full, and we're no longer in bondage to those sins. We walk in freedom. Your word says that if we acknowledge our sin to you, you forgive us, and our iniquity would not be hidden. And we say, Lord God, that we confess our transgressions to you, Lord, and we ask that you forgive us of the iniquity of our sin off of us and our bloodline, all the way back to the founding fathers of this nation and back to where they came from, Lord God, that anything that has been stolen by the enemy because of these sins, because of covenant breaking, because of breaking vows, because of speaking against parents, broken relationships, not honoring you, Lord God, not honoring you with our first fruits, not giving unto you that which you say we should do, be it time, energy, finances, whatever it is, Lord God, we ask that you'd forgive us and remove that sin from us. Things, whether they are in earth or in heaven, having made peace through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we can proclaim that we've been justified and accepted and able to stand before you, and our present petitions will be heard and covered by the shed blood of Jesus. And Lord, that you would set us free, set our generations free, and bless us to 1,000 generations, Lord, and that it would continue on and on and on for thy glory in Yeshua's name. And I thank you. What a blessing, Lord God. You said that we are to deal with the thief when we've been caught. Well, as God shows you these things in our lives, in our bloodlines, we literally can deal with it in such a way that defeats the enemy. And the Lord says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, and that we will proclaim the praises of him who called out to us in our darkness and into the marvelous light. You know, God pulled us out of the muck and mire so that we can be free. So we have to come before the court of appeals, that everything that has taken place in our lives and in our generations in the past can be cleansed, and we will become such a bright light in the darkness that it overcomes the enemy, and it overcomes anything that the enemy would try to put in our lives. So in Fred Moseley's book, The Laws of Life, he talks about the laws of accountability and responsibility, and that we literally have to understand this is a law because it's an absolute rule. All laws work in the same way every time. This is what makes them laws as opposed to mere principles. The law of accountability and responsibility is to establish us in a position that we can say we did this in righteousness. Anything that we've done to every person that can stand before the Lord. So it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to the Lord. It's Romans 14:12. Now, most of you should have read this book by now and gotten a grasp of a lot of this. So the law of accountability and responsibility, everything we say, every prayer we lift up, everything we do based on Scripture brings us under the law of accountability and responsibility. We are responsible for it. And this is what the Word says, don't jump it or really seek to be a teacher. And I've been a teacher most of my ministry time period because you're held accountable and responsible for what you teach. So if you teach something in error, you're held accountable for that. And you also generally have to go through everything you teach. But the Lord says, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So he's saying, well, you know, all the foolishness, all the things that have been done, everything you said in anger or frustration, you're going to be held accountable for it. So if you take it before the courtrooms, ask forgiveness for it. Just ask the Lord forgiveness, and he remits the sin. Then the power of the spoken word is either going to be a blessing or it's going to be wiped out. It'll be expunged. The sin of it will be wiped off. So, you know, be careful how you speak. Don't speak, you know, too hastily, should I say. So we got to recognize that sin and death has a voice. And this is that literally Keith Pierce spoke this weekend. And we choose every day. We're going to choose what position we're going to take in that and what God is saying and what will happen if we don't. So we've got to recognize that your words are going to bring life or death. So even in the midst of the trials and tribulation, and, you know, you can share things in confidence, but do so with remembrance and understanding that it's still recorded in the books. Now, I want to open up the call a little bit differently. I'm going to shift focus because I've asked several of you to, you know, if you would like, or if you have a good report, or if you have something that God's put on your heart, I want you to share. I've even asked for other people that normally don't come on the call to join us tonight. That they could share or just listen in and see what God's saying. So I'm going to ask, I got a wonderful letter from Richard Woodward. Richard, do you feel that you could share what God is showing you and what you shared with me about the freedom?
Well, I can give it a shot. I've been thinking several things as you've gone along, and I've had my struggles, but I know I'm in the right place. First of all, I want to commend David on his prayer last week. I mean, personally, I felt very liberated after going through the communion. I haven't taken communion in I don't know how many years. You know, I came away from the traditional church where I was totally involved with...
6158.
Hello?
Zero. Well, you may call us at 817-0.
I'm picking up somebody, and I don't know who it is.
I have no idea.
Okay, it stopped. Okay.
I took care of it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I think I was saying that I was involved with the traditional church as an office boy and Sunday school teacher and, you know, things like that, but it really wasn't fulfilling. But I felt like of my family, I was the only one who participated in church, but I was curious to see what was there. And it started me on an appreciation for spirituality and God and Jesus Christ. And as I went on through my life, I came to an impasse where I had to reach out and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that in itself changed my life because it enabled me to communicate with people many times of crisis that the words just flowed. I have no idea where they came from, but they really magnified my purpose that I've stated in the past. But the thing that's going on right now with me and what I tried to communicate in the letter I sent you is that I know that I represent my family, and my family came from England. My last name is Woodward, and it was a patented name from England. It meant Keeper of the King's Forest. And Christopher Woodward, who came over, settled in the Jamestown community. I believe it was back in the 1600s. About 15 years ago, we put together a kind of a family tree that gave a picture of the lineage, but I can't find that book. I will before we're done with this course. There were several things about it that lead me to believe that I have some accountability for my family, and I know that sins were committed. I know that my grandfather, for whom I'm named, was probably a Mason, although he did good things. I know that he was a very avid rapist. And I've straddled the accountability to represent my family and account for what has been done in the past. And I want to liberate myself to move forward, and that's why I'm participating. And David, that the prayer you did, you know, just lifted a big weight off my shoulders and again, told me that this is going to work. This is going to happen. That I have the faith to accept that Jesus Christ died on the cross and my sins can be forgiven. I just have to get to the right courthouse. And that's my journey. That's where I am. That's what I recognize. And I've been trying to defend things in the wrong courthouse. So I need to get to the courthouse with mercy and forgiveness and grace. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I don't know if that answers your question, but that's what's on my heart, Wade.
That's excellent, Richard. I really appreciate it. I know I'm putting you on the spot, but it was a beautiful letter that you wrote, and I wish my handwriting was as good as yours. when we look at our lineage and his family, this is something that I'm going to get David and you together. Because your family was back to Jamestown, and his family was back to Jamestown and to Plymouth, so there could be some real connections there. We'll find out soon. And then it's like my family came over later in 1743, and they were escaping literally the grandmother that. She was last name was Chamber because she was, and it became Chambers because she was a chambermaid. And my side was butlers. There were literally butlers in the house of the king. And she was a chambermaid in the house of the king. And it's interesting when you look at your family lineage and how it goes back there and how, on one side of your family, it goes back to Oliver Wendell Holmes and descendants.
That was the northern the northern part.
Yeah.
The other interesting aspect is in when my dad married my mom, it was north versus south. And that was a bone of contention that I grew up with. I mean, it wasn't always kind, but there was some comedy with it. But it was real contention. It was a clash.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, there was great hatred between North and South. And most people have no idea. It was, you know, the history has been rewritten. It was not, the slavery was not the primary issue. It was money.
South didn't want to be accountable for the debt.
Yes.
And they could survive on their own.
They didn't need the northern states.
They could survive on their own.
Yeah, and the northern states and those that were the powers wanted the wealth of the South. So and that was had more to do with it than slavery. So, like I said, we've rewritten history, and there's a part of the curse. Part of Dan and I have been talking about this, dealing with the church. Literally has brought people under bondage and curses because they have taught in error because of history and because even the Bible. I'm learning so much about the Word of God that you got to pick up from Hebrew or the other languages, Greek, Aramaic. That even our language and what we think the word says is not what the word, what some things are saying, because our language is so weak. So it's the same thing in history. So thank you, Richard. I really appreciate it. Now I know some of you are new to the call, and this you might seem like a little pressured, but I don't want you to have pressure. That's one of the nice things about being a phone call. You're not looking at people, so you get to. You get to be on without the pressures that normally might face you, but some of you are used to these situations anyhow. So, Martha, would you be willing to share with me what the vision God showed you? Would you mind sharing that on the phone tonight?
Basically, it was it wasn't really a vision, it was
a word.
Just kind of an understanding, kind of partially spoken. And it took a few days because, you know, he'll tell you something and then he'll add to it a couple days later and then he'll add something to it. But it was mainly, first it was about me receiving my inheritances from down my family line from the past, spiritual and natural giftings, callings, things that either maybe people didn't receive or didn't use well, or it was stolen, or they didn't understand it. Somehow it wasn't fulfilled. It wasn't brought to completion. And those would be given to me and kind of in a way, I don't know if he was like, kind of testing me or to see what my reaction would be or what, but I was just like, yes, I will accept it and use it in your name and for your glory and in their name and just receiving it. And then I went to church for prayer. We have prayer every Tuesday and just kind of reached it out to the people there in my church saying, yes, Lord, bring their inheritances. Deliver their inheritances from their ancestry and the things that were denied or unfulfilled. Deliver them into this house. And then the next night, went to church and spirit fell and the pastor was getting, you know, something and he was talking about giftings and it was along the same line and I kept thinking, oh, say the word, say the word, say the word, say the word. And then he finally said, inheritances. And I'm like, yes, And he even asked the church, how many people does this, you know, is how many people are feeling this? And almost, it was like 80% of the hands went up. And it just, I mean, I believe we're the last generation, so there's no one else to give it to. And this is the time that we're going to need that extra ammo, if you will, that extra power, that extra understanding and knowledge and foresight and hindsight and to battle in this war. I believe we are in a war, and it's just heating up, and it's going to get more amazing, amazingly bad, amazingly good, just supernatural, and we have to be fortified and shown more of the supernatural. I think a lot of people really shy away from it. A lot of Christians do, and they cannot, because those will be the ones who will die from fear when it appears.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a time of empowerment.
The word is, and what you're saying is what we've been dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
That God is showing us a pathway to recover that which was lost due to breaking the vows or iniquities, whatever we want to label them. And he's showing it. And the reason that I asked you to come on tonight as an encouragement to everybody else is to say to you folks, now, Martha and I have not talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
And God, and we're very close in spirit, and we love each other, and we've discovered each other, and we call each other cousins, but that's just a Southern thing. We literally have seen that the parallels of what God's doing in and out of the different churches, that he's calling the same thing. He's saying over and over again, the courtrooms of heaven, inheritance, restoration. It's not just a reconciliation to him. It's a reconciliation to that which was supposed to be ours. So the blessings, now I'm not going to take credit for this, Martha, but you'll get this. When we prayed last Monday, we took literally the nation back. And David was leading us in this, and David's going to be speaking in just a few minutes. We literally took the nation back in areas where the enemy had us in bondage. And we were very bold last week. Now, we didn't stand in the gap for the nation. We went back to take what was stolen,
mm-hmm.
all the way back past the founding fathers to England, Ireland, Scotland, Europe, all the way back to Israel.
Wow.
And it was a very bold, strong prayer. But it changed something in the heavenlies. There was a shift in the heavenlies from this prayer. And I believe that you and I have that bloodline, the Butler bloodline. Mm-hmm. And when we dealt with this, and I was praying this, and I'm saying this because everybody that's on this call needs to hear this. When we were praying this, it not only is affecting me, but it's affecting Martha, who knew nothing about this. God is telling her at the same time, the blessing of your inheritances is coming to you. The curses literally are being broken off, and the giftings, the callings, the crowns, that which God has said in the ministry, he's going to restore, and also the wealth. So the thief has been discovered, and we can't become weary in what we're doing. We can't let the enemy wear us down saying, well, it didn't happen today, or it didn't happen, it's not going to happen in your lifetime. It is going to happen in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
This is Martha saying, we literally look like we're the last generation of those that are going to stand, and we're going to be the overcomers through being faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the first
fruit
of the
kingdom. That was another thing he said, too. That was part of the last great wealth transfer, is this delivering of the inheritances to his children.
Yeah. So everybody on this call, everybody that ties into this call, that is what the promise is coming to you. So you're not only setting yourselves free when you pray these prayers and go into this, you're setting your relatives free. Anybody that's in the bloodline is being set free because you're breaking it off the bloodline. Now take a look at any family tree, and Martha and I knew nothing about each other except that her father was a butler, and I'm a butler, and we go back, and actually, she sent me his picture, and we could be brothers. I mean, we looked that much alike. The same forehead, eyes, chin, smile, nose. I mean, you go, whoa. And so God is showing us that as we break the curses, the iniquities off the bloodline, it's setting the whole families free.
Mm-hmm. As well as adoptive families.
Yes.
It works with adoptive families as well. Because you pick up those inheritances, like that spiritual DNA, you can pick that up just by living with it and being taught it.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a blessing. Anything else you want to share?
Nothing I can think of, really. I mean, that's a pretty good one. But the thing about the birth and adoption, the spiritual bloodline as well as the physical bloodline, that those are equally as powerful and equally as effective and affecting in your life. Cause like, and that was something that was kind of cool for me because I am adopted, and then I met my birth mother and their family. And he was saying that both lines of inheritances are available.
Yes.
To me or someone else in that same position. So
if
you are adopted,
look through Scripture,
it counts too.
Yeah, you look through Scripture, the adopted child has the same rights as the firstborn.
Right. And legally,
pretty,
too.
Yeah, legally. So because we're adopted into the kingdom, we have the same rights as the firstborn, Jesus.
Yeah, well, we're all adopted as Christians.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're adopted into the kingdom.
Right.
And we have the same rights and inheritance. So Christ becomes our inheritance, and everything that's his becomes ours.
Right.
And we become his. We're his inheritance. So what a blessing. So all the things that were most supposed to be ours, the things, he's wanting to turn over to us now. And he says it's going to take those that are faithful.
Right, and those who are going to use it right. With the right heart and the right intent.
Yeah. So all of us that have been involved in this are just some of the forerunners to the promise that we are going to be lights on the hill. We're going to be light in the darkness.
Yeah.
We're going to be those that he's going to use to help others reconcile unto him and unto that which was theirs. So praise God. Thank you, ma'am.
There's some crazy darkness coming.
Yep, and I gave Vern that first book.
He just walked in and gave it to me. Awesome.
Yeah, okay. There's a whole series of them, and I'll get them to you. I got to order more books. So.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm going to, I have a tendency to do this, and some of my friends go, why did you call on me? but I have to. John Rockwell. And I have shared an awful lot, and you've grown tremendously this last couple of years in what God's doing with you. Is there anything you want to share about this last couple of weeks, and did you sense a shift through the prayers of last Monday?
Most definitely, yes. It's been probably more settled than what has been spoken tonight, but for me, I've sensed, being more at ease and relaxed and that kind of thing. That's about the best way that I can put it. Nothing, huge, substantial or anything like that, but definitely a shift.
Yeah, praise God. And my wife and I's situation, we were just told that they don't intend to carry our business forward. Well, that's our total income, unless some of these works that I've been working on come through. But the Lord has assured me they're going to come through, and he put my wife in that total peace. So, literally, the blessings of the covenant that were the generations back are getting ready to overtake me. And I'm saying that to every one of you on this call. The blessing. If you're doing these things, if you're seeking the Lord in this area, the blessings of the covenant that was to be your father's fathers and grandmothers, generations back, is getting ready to overtake you. And we're making a stand for righteousness and repentance that won't be popular in churches very often. Yet those that have set free won't have a problem standing up and declaring God's glory in it because of that which is happening in their lives.
Right. Well, didn't mean to interrupt you, but as you were talking, something else kind of jogged my mind. My memory, I went back to the old congregation that that I went to some years ago, actually yesterday, and it's like, I don't even know, it's like a foreign place. it's just a real strange sensation. You know, everybody's friendly, but that's it. There's no substance, no depth, no...
One of my dearest friends has refused to leave Baptist Church. He's been there for 30-some years. He was a lead deacon and an elder, and he got demoted because he took a stand, and he got filled with the Spirit, and then he backed off. And he said, well, you're trying to, you know, you keep coming to the Lord trying to justify and work out these issues. I said, no, I'm not. You know, no, I'm not. I'm bringing freedom to me and my family and to the generations and to the outreaches of the family, the married and all those that have been involved. And it goes on to thousands of people. And I think that's true for all of us. And so he says, well, you ought to come back here. And I went, why? You know, I'm walking in the words of life. You know, what do I have to come back to? You know, that might sound a little cruel and harsh, but, you know, what do we have to go back to? You go forward. You don't go back. And I think that's what you've come to realize. You know, you're moving forward in the things of the Lord. And that's truly a blessing. It's a challenge, but it's a blessing.
Yes.
Let me call on, if he hadn't got off the phone, let me know. I've lost
9-7-0-4-8-2-7-3-6
Bob, that is actually coming from your phone. I don't know what's doing it, but I'm going to mute you. I'm going to ask. Okay.
I did that on purpose, Wade.
Okay. What was that, Monty?
I canceled out and came back in so that I could get your attention on something.
Okay.
One of the books that I've mentioned that a lot of people probably never heard about, Wade was talking about exactly what is covered in that book tonight, is Blessing or Curse by Derek Prince.
Oh, yeah.
And they're very important, the words that we speak. Something that I don't think has ever been covered on this call, and I learned of it after I had been given the right of the left foot of fellowship to ask the church that you leave to leave with blessing and favor. And it is extremely important to leave with blessing and favor. That stops the wagging tongues from having a right to attack you.
Yes, that is very well said. You know, I did that years ago, Monty. I left the church and I asked for their blessings. And the pastor told me, he says, you're the first one that's ever asked to leave with a blessing. And I think you're really hitting on something very important.
Well, I've literally... The first demonic spirit I ever took on was in a church right here in Tioga by simply mentioning that there was a religious spirit in that church, and I was brought before the board of elders or deacons that night and told as a prophet, they didn't know I was a prophet, to retract what I said or to leave, and I left. And then the next pastor I sat under told me that what I'm trying to get everybody to listen to tonight. Request in writing from the pastor of the church, whoever's a pastor of the church, now to be released from blessing, with blessing and favor.
Yeah.
And I went back to churches before that even, and since that, and have literally asked for that letter to be written. Every church that's given me the left foot of fellowship has been asked to do that specific act on my behalf. And I yield.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Linus, would you share with us, have you got anything on your heart tonight? I know that you can't always be on the call, but I also know that God talks to you all the time.
Well, Wade, what we're dealing with, what you've been teaching on of the power of the blessing and the curse. I've gone through some things because of my family background, of where that I had to break off some word curses that had been spoken over me by my father, and also word curses that had been spoken against me by some leadership in the churches that we had pastored, and release them and forgive them and then turn around and bless them. And I know that it has brought the favor of God upon Karen and I, upon our family, and upon our children and even our grandchildren. We're seeing them walk in favor and them walk in blessings, because I refuse to allow the word curses of the past to hold me in bondage to what God has called us to do and to be for the kingdom. So that's a personal testimony, and I know God has blessed us and is continuing to bless us, because I will not allow the word curses of people to hold me in bondage.
Yeah, amen.
After you read that book, A Blessing and a Curse by Derek Prince, you're going to literally rebuke out loud word curses spoken to you by people that don't even understand what they've done. And I yield again.
Yes, sir. I read that book several years ago, and it's a part of our a part of our household now. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Linus and his family, Linus and I just bonded and fell together and just love each other dearly, and our families love each other. And he has beautiful children. His daughter and son and his son's wife are as talented as any of the top recording country gospel singers out there. And matter of fact, they are recording artists. And one of my selfish desires is to sing with them one day. Just to be able to say I sang with him. But also, his daughter Tiffany, she takes you into the throne room. And his son's a great writer of music, and his wife, just what a blessing. Just not that they can't say they haven't been without trials, because they have fought the enemy on many landscapes. But God, his hand's on him, and what a blessing and an honor just to have him come on the call. I consider it a great privilege, and he's one of my dearest friends. So I like to call on Linus, and I know he's not always prepared for me to, but he's always ready in season and out, and that was a good testimony, a good blessing. Thank you, sir. Now I'm going to call on another leader, okay, and him and I talk regularly, and that's Dan Owens, or his beautiful wife, Brenda, who both happen to be on the phone. If they have anything they'd like to share tonight, and next week, I'm going to go in some categories him and I have been praying about and seeking the Lord about, but it's tonight we're not going to do it, but it's literally about the church, about how we're going to go into next week and pray to get the bondage off the church, and that literally just the body of Christ. And again, we're not going to stand in for them. We're just going to break them and that's going to break off any curses that's been in our bloodlines because of the churches that we've been in that were in error and things that we picked up in error. So, Dan or Brenda, would either one of you like to share anything tonight about what this has done or what you see happening?
Thank you, Wade. I'm going to yield to my wife here in just a moment.
That's smart. A wise
Every now and then. But I wanted to say how appropriate, given what you and I were speaking about earlier today, what Martha, I think it was Martha, had to say. It was went right in line with a lot of what we were talking about earlier today. Just amazing
that's
to see how God works.
She didn't even know why I asked her to be on the call. Or I said, be on the call tonight. It's because it's what God is showing her falls in perfectly to what God is showing us.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. That's just a confirmation that God's got us on the right path.
Yep.
I'm going to yield to my wife.
Hello. How are you doing?
We're blessed.
Good. I hate it when he does that to me. I really don't know that I have a lot to say, except I wanted to say that I got on a little later. My daughter and I had to run out for something, and I caught the last part, and I will listen to the recording of this lady earlier that you were talking
Martha.
About.
Yeah.
Yes,
Martha King.
Yes, there we go. And I was very stirred, in what she was saying about dealing with these things and being prepared for battle. Because the things that are going on nowadays, we need to really be in tune with the Lord. And we need to have all these doors shut that the enemy has forced his way in one way or another. We need to have them all shut. And we need to, just be so in tune with the Lord. And so I was very encouraged with what she said because, some of the things out there that are going on, they're just, I don't think that way. And it's hard to get your mind around what people are doing. And it's not just people. It's the spiritual entities that are egging them on, and giving them information and, that are behind the scenes. And, it's just mind-boggling. But I was very encouraged to hear that. And I'm very encouraged that Monty was reading Derek Prince's Blessing or Curse. We have had that book for years, and he actually has some CDs also that are very, 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 very good. That if, you can afford, I would recommend getting those. He's very, very, a very, very good teacher, and he brings some things to light that we had not seen before either. Anyway, I'm very, very encouraged with what's going on, and I think this is needed and has been needed for a long time with God's people. As you were talking about recovering of the truth, it is so necessary that we recover the truth, and I believe God is bringing that to us. And that's the only thing I think that's on my heart at the moment.
I got to tell you something. Go ahead.
I was going to ask if you would mind, just kind of on my heart as Brenda was talking, if you could facilitate Brenda and Martha being able to get in contact with one another.
Absolutely. It'll be done in the morning.
Thank you.
And maybe I'll get it done tonight. Absolutely. Now, Brenda hadn't heard this, but I had been attempting to write a book, and it's been going on since March, and it just wouldn't come out. It was about the testimony of the Republic, and Jean Hertler is writing a book she's so far down the road from me. She's writing a novel, not even a novel. She's a historical document, and the Lord has given me about testimony, and we've had some people send testimonies in. But what God has shown me is it's not just about the Republic. The testimony is about what he's doing with the church and the Republic actually represents a part of the body of Christ that's crying out for righteousness in the government. And there's certain prayers that, you know, we'd like to be able to pray and shut down the unrighteous works that are being done. I'm not going to stand on the gap to do that. I do pray to shut down these things. But God, the testimony is becoming the marvelous works that God's done through us all. And it's going to be more than just a move of, and those of you that are guests that don't know, this started out as I am the national chaplain for the Republics of the United States for America, and this call was about that, but God told me to make it more. And that testimony is more. It's about us reestablishing the covenants and promises of God for the body of Christ and for the nation. So we have gone way past what the original was and what the idea was. And Brenda, this is for your knowledge. God has now given me direction to pick it back up. It's been sitting there for months. He says, now I want you to pick it back up. I went, okay. Because he's got some new things he wants me to put in, you know, to pen and ink. So, but thank you. Thank you so much. There's many more of you I'm going to call. Anything else you'd like to share, Brenda?
Well, I think that's pretty awesome, because it's like, where do you stop with the testimonies? Because it is really about what God has done.
Yes.
It really is. And you know, the testimonies, it's about what he has done in our lives, all of us, in recovering the truth and setting us free and drawing us closer to him, you know, establishing that relationship that he's called us to, and on and on. And so that is really awesome. This thing is way bigger, way bigger. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and you know, God kept telling me over and over again, people would come to me, prophets would come to me, and I would finally say, Lord, I don't want to hear it anymore. He kept telling me, it's bigger than what you think. It's bigger than what you think. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, I am a visionary. Mm-hmm. You show me how to build cities. Everything from the plumbing to the wiring and the housing and the hospitals and the businesses. You show me those things. I think big. And he says, it's bigger than what you think. It's bigger than what you think. It's about rebuilding a nation and how to affect the generations that are here and bless them. So what we're all involved in is far bigger than what we think. I know some of you, Matt, and some of the others that joined us late simply because of your timing, whatever, the testimony, you need to replay tonight. The testimony of Martha, and she didn't even know I was setting her up, but I did. Playback number 530-881-1399, and the same code you used to get in. And play back what was talked about and the sharing tonight. It'll bless you. And we are literally at a point in time where God is saying, I'm getting ready to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot contain. I mean, it's going to be so overwhelming, because the blessing is going to be the covenant promise that's been in our bloodlines, because we're making the effort to set the bloodline free. And I've had denominational people, friends, say to me, it's all under the blood. Well, yeah, it is all under the blood. But you got to know the protocol to get there. You got to understand that the enemy is a legalist, and that he's going to take you before the courts to tear you down and to put accusations against you, to get judgments against you and your family that keeps you from the inheritance of the gifts, the fruits, the blessings, the covenant promises that were yours and your family's. And what God is saying is, no, I'm showing you a way to get set free. And that's what this has been all about. So that's the blessings and the birthrights. And Martha's sharing earlier was about how God had shown her about the inheritance. And it's been confirmed over and over again, and that's exactly what we're dealing with. David, I know you and I talk as much as we can. And by the way, I sent that information on, and they can't confirm it. That's a different subject, but David, what's God showing?
They can't confirm it, or they can?
No, they cannot. It's overseas. It's not anywhere that we can get our hands on it.
Okay. All right. Well, what's going on, you know, since we're talking about inheritance as to what I'm finding right now as I begin to think about family issues in my life.
You are breaking up really bad, David. I'm catching every other word.
No.
Yeah, there's something going on with my phone.
Okay, now you're clear now.
So we come against that devil and his interfering with our electronics right now.
Yes.
And we command that it stop now. Not 5 minutes from now, now.
Amen.
Okay, try again, David. We're in agreement.
Okay. And so the thing that that I'm finding now is that I've come to a place where I'm at in the courtroom of heaven dealing with a dispute, because there is a lineage, a family line that has come out from an illegal position and stolen inheritance from me, because they have come in and falsified who they are.
Hmm.
Their bloodline is not from the land in which I came from. Their lineage is from Germany. And they came to corrupt the lineage of the land of Pendleton, which is England. The royal family is an illegal family. Their bloodline is not English or British. They're from Germany. And when they came in, they commingled the DNA and started to corrupt the system. I did some research and found out years ago that somebody did a blood search line, and the royal family that's sitting in the Buckingham Palace right now are not from England. They are German. Their DNA is German.
That's interesting. So there's a covenant battle there that's taking place.
Well, just a covenant battle. What I'm finding out is that the inheritance rights of the land.
Yeah.
The inheritance right of the thing. It's no, I mean, I've got proof enough to say, hey, wait a minute, that's not what that is.
Yeah.
It does not. This is not what it appears to be. This was all part of, because you have to understand that Freemasons and the Freemason line stuff is way back. The Knights Templar, all that stuff goes way back. And there was a plan in pursuit. And that's how all this stuff came through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because part of my inheritance, if I were to just get so radically about certain things, is England.
Yeah, part of the royal bloodlines of nations, yeah.
Because I'm finding out I am the original bloodline royalty.
Well, some dear friends and I were on the phone today, and we talked about the DNA research on blood now, and you can link back to the families all the way back to Israel, and you know, to the founding Adam. I mean, they can actually trace through the DNA structure, you know, where our inheritance fell. It's an expensive test, like $350, but anybody interested in that, I'd get them the information. But it's, the Lord, I think, in you in prayer, the Lord showing you these things. So that's interesting.
And so, you know, because I've been doing genealogical studies, I've been looking back. I mean, I found out that in my bloodline to this George Pendleton, I think it was, or Thomas Pendleton, pardon me. And it goes back to the land of Pendleton. And what Pendleton means is hills of hills, district of districts.
Huh.
And so And my Aunt Lori, I think, or somebody, I heard somebody say that that we had a huge amount of land.
Yeah.
That we ruled over. I mean, literally, you could say England.
Yeah. So many families fled the tyranny. And today, there are families fleeing the United States because of tyranny. So we're going to get in about 3 weeks, we're going to get in dealing with the states and then the nation right after that on how we go forward to reclaim the lands. And I think your study there will be very important in that. And, you know, in helping us to get it set free. So the warfare that we're in this year, this 2015, is critical in us understanding where the church is and where we are within the body of Christ. And this whole process we're going through is preparing us and going to prepare many, many others to be that faithful, righteous, overcoming group that's part of the bride, that becomes the bride. You know, many of us, I pray, we'll be fortunate enough to be in that group. I really don't want to go into or through the final end times, the tribulation, all those things. So as we are setting the captives free and setting our families free, I don't know how far back God's going to allow us to go as far as what we will be able to reclaim. But I believe it'll be in form of blessings and more so in spirit than in physical, but we're also going to receive the physical. The finances are coming.
Wade, put on your spiritual seatbelt because you're going through it, unless I'm a lying prophet.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know.
I mean, one thing that I'm going to share with you that you all you got to take notice about. This is something that I'm learning and I'm going through. You got to go into the spirit. What's going on right now? There is preparation, refinements. You know, you'll know that you're being prepared for something. That's because of how you're being dealt with by God, by the Spirit of God, by what he's talking to you about within the Word, where you are in his Word, where you are dealing with things. Because I'm learning that as you, I'm being prepped for something that is multifaceted. And you have to start to take notice of that. Got to start seeing how you are handling and conducting yourself. Look to see back, go back and look and see where you've actually begun to change the way you think, the way that you act, the way that you talk, the way that you even behave in certain ways. And you'll begin to see what preparation is for.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I understand several things of what's going on with me. And here's something, Wade, that God's been talking to me about, and it may not be too late for you to do music. There could be a regeneration that goes on within you. God's been talking to me
that's
about
part of what I'm claiming back. Yes,
as regeneration.
Yeah,
and there's been even confirmation leading back coming to me of regeneration.
Yep. Yep,
and so you know, people. So this is my encouragement today, is to look at, see what's really going on. I mean, me, I'm being prepared for music, sound, you know, on Gloria Zion, they were talking about a sound coming to that place. Who knows? God may help me birth that.
Yeah. Yeah, none of us.
Because,
yeah, we don't know.
You know, things are just beginning to happen, to unfold. I mean, you know, but as far as, you know, I got a word from a prophet years ago that I wasn't I didn't quite understand it, but she said England is crying out for you to come, and you'll go there. And so something about that is getting ready to happen.
Well, and this could again be part of going back to setting people there free. I want to bring encouragement to everybody right now with what David's saying and what we're talking about. You know, there's three areas in your faith that you've got to understand. You can't ever forget the promise that God has made to you and that which you started out in. His promise never goes away. His covenant promise to you. Don't ever lose hope in the midst of the battle. You say, oh, God, there's no hope anymore. No, but there's always hope. I don't care how bad the storm is. He's there. Now, you say, well, you don't survive the storm. Well, guess what? Didn't you with him? So there's always hope. And never lose your faith. It seems like at times that the enemy throws so many things at you, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, your family, your finances, all these things. And he's saying the challenge is what the enemy's trying to throw at you is to break down your faith. But God's greater than all those storms. He's greater than all the opposition. He's greater than all the resistance and evil that's coming against you. And his sovereignty through his word is declared. And your destiny is not done. It's not complete. The promise is coming. That what you've been waiting for is at hand. So you can't stop. You can't ever give up. I used to really chastise people in my congregation. God would give them a word, and it didn't seem like it was getting ready to happen. And I said, you stopped at the door. You didn't step in. You got to step in faith to that position, to that which calling, and to the promise that he's bringing you. So just don't give up. Don't ever, ever, ever give up. I'm very tenacious. And that's one of the things. Ask for tenacity. Ask God to give you the ability to stand in the midst of the storm. And David's done it for years. All of us that have been in ministry have had to do it. And I want to encourage each and every one of you. Let me call on a couple more people because I have a sense we're going to close a little early tonight. Matt, I see you came on, and you came on a little late. Is there anything you'd like to share? Or not at all? Don't feel pressure. But I know you'd been on vacation.
Hello?
If you'd like to share something, I'd love to have you.
Wyatt? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. I was Googling and stuff and to be grounded and stuff and...
Matthew, can you speak up a little bit? We can barely hear you.
Yeah, get closer to the phone or something.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. It's not a commercial. Yes, we can. but I heard from you a long time, so just want to see.
Yeah. Praise God for this. He opened the door for me to go down to Gloria Zion during the head of the year.
Oh, you're coming down there?
Yeah.
Well, you can meet John Rockwell himself and Dr. Fred Mosley, and we'll just have a celebration. We'll get out and dance in the aisle. Glory to God.
Praise God.
I'll introduce you to some radical people.
Yeah. And one of the things was I heard someone was saying, and then I heard you were saying something about that DNA genealogy test, and
yes,
with my bloodline, kind of, I don't know where it and stuff, because my bloodline been scattered and stuff.
Well, we can talk about that. We'll try to spend some time next week together.
Yeah. So, and then just things like I'm excited because I'm excited about that. You know, that church stuff with the, they've been walking that fivefold ministry out for years, and
several of us on this call, Linus was one of the pastors there. I'm ordained as a pastor out of there.
Okay.
Linus was on staff for many years, and
okay.
So we'll it'll be a blessing.
Cool.
So I encourage you to look me up when we're there. Let me call on two more people, and then I'm going to close.
Okay. Shalom.
Yes, shalom to you. There's several people that are on that there's no name on the number, so I can't, I can call out the number. But Richard Chase, and I know that I'm not called on you, and would you like to share anything? Would you like to contribute tonight and what you sense is going on?
Well, this is the first time I've had a chance to get on this call. I'm a senator for the state of Georgia, and
well, praise God.
I've been in the public for about a couple of 3 years almost so far. And I think we're definitely due for some changes. I think the Lord has finally decided that, we have a group of people that's been put together to save America. We're in the position right now to stand up and be counted, because this world is in such dire straits right now, especially with the Ebola and everything that's trying to be pushed upon us, and a lot of the other events is happening around the world. And I think God has a purpose for us all, and he puts us in a time and a place where we can make a change and we can make a difference. And I think with our prayers and all the people that are banding together right now, that we have a chance to make this change that's coming upon us, because I think the timeline definitely changed in 2012, that we didn't happen to have the revelations that come upon us that, you know, has been dictators for the last 2,000 years. And I think we can definitely change that. And I think with the spiritual guidance through dreams and what everybody's having for different visions, that it is definitely going to make a change in America. I had a vision probably at least 13 years ago that changed my life when Christ came to me and said, follow him to Galilee. And let me tell you, it totally disrupted my life for about 7 years. I mean, everything kind of fell apart. But I did take the challenge and tried to follow him in that type of reality, and it has changed my life to the better. Even though a lot of things were disasters, but, you know, there's always a good outcome at the end. So I think we're definitely on our way to really change things. And I do believe that we're all here at this last time, in this last event, that this is the last generation, and we have to stand up for Jesus. You know, he is the pathway, he is the light, and we have to go with that guidance that came in 2,000 years ago, even though it's been distorted by just about every church going. You know, they kind of lost the whole reality probably a century after, you know, he came into being. But we have to really look at what's happening now. I mean, Obama's gone around to at least 50,000 pastors and put them onto the whole regime of, you know, getting the whole 666 number implemented, you know, and the whole thing that's going on right now. So we have to wake up. I mean, there's a lot of information out there that's been totally distorted, And we have to really wake up and say, what is the real truth? And how can we really save ourselves with the words and the blessings that we can pronounce upon people? So that's what I have to say.
Good word. Thank you, sir. Welcome. Glad you're on tonight.
Thank you.
Something that would be a blessing to you, I believe, if you do that playback number, 530-881-1399, and do the same code that you use and play back last week. Go into History and Recordings.
Okay.
And play back last week, you would be blessed.
Okay.
You'd be amazed at what God showed us and how he took us to a place that I believe started setting the nation free, not just ourselves, but the nation free because of what we were doing. So
surely, definitely.
And this is actually, we're into our fourth year of having this call.
Fantastic.
And wonderful. So we've been praying for the people and nation and teaching when God tells us. Other times we're just doing prayer. So thank you for being on.
You're welcome.
Let me call on Ken Shankle. Ken, it's always a blessing to hear your voice and your prayers. I know you've battled some interesting things out there and where you live and what's going on. So is there anything you want to share with us tonight or any prayer you'd like before we come to closing?
Well, thank you for calling on me. I wasn't anticipating on sharing anything this evening, but... Yeah, the Lord has been moving on my heart, just taking a look at where we're at, trying to bring this nation back to being God's nation. You know, the entire world, the entire universe, all that is God's. And we as a people have taken it, and yet getting into his word more and more and continuing to get into his word and being ministered by all the people on this call as well. And their experiences that each and every one has been sharing has just blessed me. I've been, after the Monday night call, I went to court on Tuesday and got a year in jail with 4 months suspended, another $2,500 fine, and another 90-day suspension, and bonded out to appeal. And I'm saying, Lord, what is it that I am not doing properly here? Where am I not following your word about the courts of heaven? And gone through the whole process and walked in there, you know, I felt incompetence. And, anyway, then went for my annual checkup here, and I couldn't even hear anything in court because my ears were so clogged up. I got some sort of an infection going on there, and blood counts low, and hey, I got all kinds of stupid stuff going on. You know, I'm saying, man, I'm right in the thick of a battle here, but I know that God overcomes, and battle's already won. I'm just getting feeling like I'm being flogged here.
Well, I tell you what. Let us pray for you right now.
Thank you, brother.
Linus, would you join me in praying for Ken Shankle and the battle he's going through? If you would lead off, then I will follow. You certainly understand people in war, so.
Well, Father, we recognize the attempt of the enemy to attack him and to take him down. And so, Lord, we stand in agreement and we stand against the forces of darkness and we bind the forces of the enemy that are attacking him. I declare that the blood of Jesus covers him and that he is redeemed from the curse and that he is brought forth and brought out of this in the name of Jesus. I declare angelic warriors placed around about him, that you will minister to him. We break off discouragement. We break off heaviness. And Lord, we just stand and declare that you cause us to triumph over the enemy. And Lord, we thank you for victory. We declare that Tim moves forward to fulfill his purpose, his destiny of that which you have called him to do, that which you have called him to be, And Lord, he rises up to be a man of faith and a man that is more than a conqueror now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, Yahweh, I come before you and I call heaven and earth to record this day against the enemy that is set against Ken Shankel, who is trying to bring theft of life and to bring death through the speaking, to bring cursing upon him, that he has no legal ground, Lord, that Ken has been going before thy throne room and thy courts. He lives on land, literally, that was Freemason temple and converted into a home. And, Lord, that land is cursed, and he's been praying over that and walking over that land. So, Father, I ask that the innocent blood that was shed by you would cover him, would cover the land, would break the curses that the enemy's trying to put upon him, and that he would walk in a new freedom of inheritance through your precious blood, that your glory would shine through. And, Lord, where his ears were stopped up and he could not hear, Lord, open his ears that he would hear from you, and that in clarity he would go before the courts of the land and stand free, declared totally innocent, and the judgment and that is being placed against him would be destroyed, because heaven bears a witness unto him that he is covered by the blood and he has broken the curses and they have no place. So, Lord, I ask that you would show your mercy and grace and compassion and overcome that which the enemy has tried to put on him and his family, and that, you know, his bloodline, and that he would be set free. And it would be a declaration of praise of your glory that his freedom and his victory would shout unto the heavens a testimony of your great work in hand in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we I couldn't hear you, Monty. Repeat it.
Call me after the call, Ken.
Ken, do you have Monty's phone number?
I'm not
sure. Let me get myself a
in here.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. I don't know who this is because it doesn't show on the screen.
Okay.
Who am I talking to?
This is Dina Marie DiLiberto.
Oh, how are you, Dina?
How are you? And bless you for all this. I missed last week, and I don't know how to actually do the playback for that. But I've been getting your mail, and I don't know how to order the books. I don't know anything about how to get these books that you keep mentioning on the call.
Okay. I'm out of the books. I'm reordering in the morning. I got a blessing in, and I'm reordering books. So I'll send them to you. And forgive me, but I did not get a chance to answer your email on that. But I will get you the information and get you the books.
Yeah.
Now, some of the books I don't carry. I'm carrying the ones about the courts of heaven. Other ones I send out. Did you get my email about I sent you an email.
It was an old email with an old list, and you said that you were going to send out the new list a week later, and I never got the second list.
And you didn't get the second list. Okay.
Yeah.
We've added a couple books, and I'm getting those at wholesale also, and that's the one from
Dr. Mosley. I'm definitely interested in the land kit and the courtroom of heaven and, you know, I'm definitely interested in, you know, in doing that. I've even spoken to my mother. In fact, my mother, for the last couple of weeks has been complaining about flies bothering her. And immediately it connected to me, you know, that the flies were one of the 10 plagues of Egypt. And I said that the enemy is after you. The enemy is after you. And you know, and so she is, I know you've been speaking about bees for the last couple of weeks, but she's been, dealing with flies. And they come at night, and we don't know why, but, you know, we just know that they're from the enemy, they're not from God. And, and you know, we pray for her to. She knows. I mean, she knows she's not going to follow the devil. That's a given.
Okay.
She will not follow. She will not follow the enemy. And she has a very strong spirit. And I said, well, that's because that's why the enemy wants to come after you, because you have a strong spirit. So
yeah.
We pray. You know, we pray. We read the Bible, the scriptures, and we pray. But I'm finding that what you're talking about with this inheritance and the land, that's all new to me. I didn't know all about that. So I'm finding this very interesting. And I got to say that Brenda Owens, 2 weeks ago, she did a prayer, and that prayer was very uplifting. I could feel the Holy Spirit in the way she prayed. I could hear God right there. Prayer. It was definitely from the heart, and it was definitely from the spirit. And I want to thank you for that prayer, because that was actually very moving, and it was exactly what I needed to hear.
So I have got one kit left right now, so I'll send you that. The other books I'm going to have an order in the morning, so I'll get this out to you tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. I feel blessed, because I was wondering, how someone could. You don't have PayPal or anything. I didn't know how to go about it.
No, if people send in blessings, offerings, to do it. I've not asked anybody to specifically do anything, and we've been blessed over and over again. I mean, it's been an incredible outpouring. So I have enough in the bank to order some more books and to pay the postage, and that's kind of what we've been doing.
That is wonderful. And do you have an updated list? Because I want to be part of what you're doing now as well,
Okay. I'll give you the updated list. I'll do that and get it out to you tomorrow.
And then what do we do? Just send you the money or tell you what books you want?
I'll tell you where to get the books in my list and how to get them, either through us or through the ministries directly. So.
Oh, that sounds great. Oh, bless you.
Okay.
God
will do.
You. And everybody on this call tonight.
All right. Thank you so much. I want to just continue to encourage everybody to understand that we are the generation to receive the inheritance. And it's in line for you. And all that we've been doing is setting us up to be set free. And that's the biggest encouragement. There's so many things I like to share. You can't get them all in any call. I have talked about, Thomas Horn and his books. I've talked about Jeanette Strauss is the one that we started with, Robert Heidler, Chuck Pierce, Dutch Sheets. I'm just finishing, the book by Bobby Connors. And this is kind of how I wanted to end it up tonight. And it goes back to the power of the spoken word, and I want to just share this with you. One of the greatest tools there is to get our lives in line is the tongue. And death and life comes from the power of it, and we can choose whether we speak blessings or curses. And that is over our family, our circumstance, our situation. So whenever the enemy comes in, to bring great destruction, speak the word of God over and blessings over it. So it's even like with the attacks, with the flies or crows or coyotes, all these different things that we can deal with the lineage problems, we can deal with the promises, and we can break through what the enemy's trying to do by praising the Lord. So you might not be a singer, you might not be a song leader, but I want you to encourage you to praise the Lord and bless him. And the Lord says, his promises back to us as the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious upon you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. His promise is to give us a new name, to give us the new name. The new name becomes Christians. In studying names, give you an example about my name. Your first name was the name they named you, and it was based on something. And then the next portion of the name would be who you represented and what house you came from. So my name, Wade King Butler, it was Wade, which was a seeker. And King, I was from the house of the royal lineage, the kings. And Butler, I was of the butlers. literally the servant of the king. And so I tell people all the time, I said, I was christened the servant of the king, a seeker of the king, and I found the king. And each and every one of you need to understand that you, in your seeking, you have found the king. And he wants to bless you abundantly above everything you could ask or think. And it's coming through your work and your effort and your seeking after him. I'm going to call on one last person, and I'm actually, after what he has to share, I'm going to ask him to close us in prayer. And that's John Underwood. John, would you like to share anything? Ooh, you must be driving.
That's okay. I'm on the open freeway, so I'm okay. So, okay, well, praise God. It's such a blessing to hear everyone and to hear what God is doing and what he's saying. I had kind of resigned myself to basically holding off on things and trying to allow my wife to come along with me, but I'm not sure that exactly what I'm supposed to do. I think I should probably talk to her some more about what's really happening in the world and the fact that we really are in a war and we can't change it by ignoring it.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You get defeated by ignoring it.
Yeah. And so, anyway, my friend that went with me last time to Nita Johnson's Gathering of the Eagles in Washington, D.C., is planning to go this time in early October. And now I wasn't planning on going, but now I'm thinking I would like to go. He wants me to go, and also it's Feast of Tabernacles, of course, and the Blood Moon, and all these things happening at the same time, and so it seems like something that I should be doing, going to that, but and praying for the nation. But anyway, so I just want everyone to agree with me in prayer that the Lord will speak to my wife and touch her heart, and the Lord will really begin to move in my family. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time we've had in your beautiful presence, and Lord, we just thank you for your great love for each one of us, and thank you for your great love for my wife, and thank you that you've given me love for her also. Pray you bless her, and that you will speak to her heart and open her heart to what you want to say to her and what you want to do and what you want her to do, Lord. And we just pray together that your will be done in my family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Lord, we just commit all this to you now and give you praise for what you're doing and for what you're going to do. And we surrender everything to you. And we just bless your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to call one of them. I don't even know who this is, but they're actually in my area. 9951 is your last four digits. Who do I have on that line? It's 281 number. And last four digits, 9951. I do not have you muted. Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for being here. There's a time when you're just supposed to stop, and we're supposed to stop. So I want to thank you. There's two things that we're going to start going into. We're just going to start dealing with the cities and the states this next week. We're going to start dealing with, continue with the curses and breaking them off at that level and how we go about it. Now, most of you have received the books, and I want you to have an opportunity to read those between now and next week and understand where we're going in this. We're also going to deal with several things that I've learned about where we are as the body of Christ. And I told you that there's been so much that has not been said because pastors are worried about keeping their doors open and the congregations and those kind of things. So we're going to deal with some of those things. And then I've got a dear friend of mine, Pastor Fred Forche, that I'm asking to come on and be part of the sharing this next couple weeks. We're going to talk about the end times and where we are in the body and how we can go forward in being a positive effect rather than being frightful and being a negative effect. Do I think we're at the end? I think we're really close. I believe the blood moons and the prophecies that I gave forth last week from the Catholic Church and from the rabbis about where we are, I do believe we're there. But at the same time, I'm not going to give up working. I'm not going to give up ministering. I'm not going to give up, taking care of my family. The Lord says we're to occupy, and occupy means that we're supposed to take care of things, and we're also supposed to be a light in the darkness and a blessing to all those around us. So I encourage that to each and every one of you. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't allow the enemy to take you down. Recognize that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, and it doesn't matter. Even though they can throw horrible things at you, God is available. He's not forgotten you. He's not forsaken you. And you have the ability to overcome, and you have the opportunity to receive the blessings that were rightfully in the bloodline that were yours, and the enemy hates it, and he wants to do everything he can to discourage you, but he's not going to stop it if we'll take the steps and follow the protocol of going before the Lord. So blessings to everyone. Thank you for being here. I am going to be buying as many flash drives as I possibly can to put these 12 weeks on flash drive, and for anybody that wants to listen again.
That's
and
right.
there are going to be more books. There are going to be more things that we'll go through, and there will be blessings to come. So don't give up. Know that our redemption draws nigh, but it's a blessing to us, not a curse.
Amen.
So good night to everybody. I thank you for being on. I'm turning off the recording.